551 at the Roadhouse on the Shore with Jay and Dave. And it's that time of year when ticks are returned. Reports show that there's more possibility of more ticks than ever, and the possibility of getting sick from tick bites is certainly real. Here to tell us more is Dr. Jonathan Oliver. He's an assistant professor at the University of Minnesota School of Public Health, a public health entomologist. Welcome to the Roadhouse, John Oliver.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, sir, and you are one of the rare few that don't mind our creepy, crawly little friends. In fact, you study them exclusively. What's that like?
I've always been interested in insects and got, educated as an entomologist. And I was originally planning on working more of the mosquito angle, but kind of fell into ticks and haven't regretted it.
Well, it's certainly a secure position when I see some of these reports of ticks on the rise and this new CDC study that was just released this week. What's the sort of the bad news, John, on these rise of the ticks?
Yeah, no doubt there's plenty of job security. Here in the Midwest and in most of the eastern half of the country, deer ticks are the major transmitter of disease. And definitely tick numbers have been on the rise, as has their range. So they've really expanded across Minnesota in the last 20 or so years. And disease transmission has also really been increasing, as that CDC report that you mentioned suggests.
Well, and I'm sure one of the fundamental questions you're working on, John, is the why. What is causing this this increase? What are your studies indicating?
Well, there's probably a number of contributing factors that are contributing to the spread of deer ticks. It's easy to sort of lay the blame at the feet of climate change, and that's probably does affect ticks, especially up in the northern parts of their range. I mean, they are all the way from Florida to Texas up here to Minnesota. So it could be affecting, climate change could be an important factor, just sort of affecting like tick overwinter survival. But there's a lot of other factors too. Land use changes is probably an important one. Deer ticks require high humidity environments, and so especially here in Minnesota, they mainly live in closed canopy forests. And so as more woodlots are allowed to go kind of fallow, those become good habitat for ticks. And then also just having availability of host animals is really important. So where there's lots of deer, there's lots of transportation of ticks between regions of potential habitat. So it's a complicated question, and we don't really know, you know, all the details of what's happening, and there's definitely a lot of different factors at play in why ticks are spreading.
I think I saw somewhere along the line, John, about a sort of a killing temperature of a low. Is there, you know, sort of 40 below kills them off? Have you any information on that?
Yeah, well, 40 below would definitely kill them off. So there have been some studies looking at tick survival. So, you know, deer ticks are really robust, cold weather adapted animals. And so they can survive over the winter as both the very small, immature nymphal stage, the nymph stage, or as adults. And so adult ticks start dying, I think, at about minus 15 degrees. So, you know, we do get to that temperature here in Minnesota, but that's really when the ticks are, like, exposed to that. So when we have winters like last year where there's lots of snow cover, that provides a real insulating blanket that helps keep the ticks above that freezing, lethal freezing temperature. So having more snow and wetter winters and having sort of shorter durations of the very cold, weeks of winter is potentially going to allow them to expand their distribution further north. which is what we've seen over the last 20 years, the ticks really moving into like Barrowhead.
Well, here's a question for you, John. Are the ticks active during the winter season? Are they on the hides of the deer, or are they in a dormant stage?
So they're dormant when it's that cold, but they do start coming out as soon as the weather thaws. So as soon as it gets above freezing, you can potentially get, run into ticks. But it's really around this time of year, in May and late April, when they really become most abundant.
Sure. And you mentioned the deer tick. Of course, we're all pretty familiar with. What other kind of ticks are out there that we should be aware of?
So in Minnesota, we've got something like a couple dozen tick species, but most of them are very specialized on animal hosts, like the raccoon tick or the squirrel tick. So they're not any concern. Really, we've only got a couple of ticks that do bite people regularly here, and that's the deer tick, which entomologists call the black-legged tick, and the wood tick, which is also known as the American dog tick. So those ticks are both very common. Wood ticks only very rarely transmit disease in Minnesota, so they're much less of a concern than deer ticks. There's also a third species of tick, the Lone Star tick, which has penetrated up to the uppermost tier of counties in Iowa. And so that tick is expected to come to Minnesota at some point in the future, if it's not already here. And that tick can actually carry a variety of diseases that aren't yet present in Minnesota. So it's something to look forward to.
And this would be an invasive species, I presume?
Well, it's locally invasive, but it's native to the United States. So it would be, arriving here. And there are a number of historical records of it being here, probably transported in by birds, but they haven't been established populations.
Do ticks cycle through like 10-year ups and downs, or are there just ever more ticks?
Well, I mean, there's good years and bad years for the ticks. I would say that the trend over the last 20 or 30 years has really been increasing numbers of all of the human-biting species of ticks.
That's what I'm seeing in that CDC report. And increasing reports of disease. What type of diseases? What are the main ones we need to be aware of?
So by far the biggest one is Lyme disease. That is extremely common, very common in Minnesota. There's another disease that's also quite common in Minnesota, also transmitted by the deer tick, called human granulocytic anaplasmosis. This disease definitely has a branding issue in terms of its name, but there's over 1,000 or around 1,000 cases a year that are reported in Minnesota. So it's pretty common here.
We're speaking with Jonathan Oliver. He's an assistant professor at the University of Minnesota School of Public Health. Dr. Oliver specializes in public health as an entomologist and studying tick-borne pathogens relevant to human health. We've got that time of year. Of course, they're on the rise. They love the tall grasses. Is that right? Is there some like specific habitats that ticks are prone to populate?
Yeah. So wood ticks definitely you'll find in brushy areas and tall grasses. If you're walking along the side of a highway, they can sometimes accumulate on the grassy verge there because they're actually attracted to the traffic. They can smell the carbon dioxide, and they can actually see the cars as they go by as sort of big moving things. So they'll kind of end up on the edge of the road there. That can be a prime location for inadvertently collecting wood ticks. Deer ticks in Minnesota, though, are mostly limited to closed canopy forest, or like on the margins of forested areas.
Okay.
Well, they really need to have a higher humidity environment.
We got all that up here. So.
Oh yeah. yeah. Plenty of things.
Well, John, here's the real deal. How can we protect ourselves? What are some good strategies for minimizing our chances of infection?
Right. So Like you said, prevention is definitely the best option, a lot better option than having to get treated for these diseases. So prevention is primarily down to education, right? If you know that you're going to be exposed to ticks, you can start to take measures against it. So I usually suggest that people wear insect repellents, so 20 to 30% DEET, on your clothes or skin, or insect repellents that contain 20 or 30% DEET, or permethrin, permeated clothing, is also a good option. And that'll work on black flies, mosquitoes, and ticks, and just kind of keep them off you. Also, if you've been in tick habitat, daily tick checks are essential. It usually takes at least 24, it takes more than 24 hours normally for Lyme disease to exit the tick, because it needs to like travel from the tick's stomach through its body up to its salivary glands, and then it reproduces inside the salivary glands. So it takes this you have this window of relative safety after the tick first attaches to you. So if you do daily checks and are very careful to catch even the smallest of the immatures, then that's also real essential to avoiding disease problems.
You know, I think I've as a scout, we used to tuck our pants into our socks. Is that a good one?
Yeah, that if you're like out hiking, like in directly in the environment, that's a great idea. I mean, I do that myself. That way, you know, you can see them coming up your pants. They'll tend to be on the outside of your pants rather than coming up the inside.
Sure.
So you have a better chance of catching them.
How about for our furry four-legged friends?
Right. So definitely dogs and cats are susceptible to a number of tick-borne diseases. Though usually they're not obviously affected. And so your dog can get, you know, a little bit down or whatever from a disease, but it usually will recover. On the other hand, sometimes they do get quite ill. There's a really good and effective Lyme disease vaccine for dogs. I think it costs about $100, but it is very effective, and I believe that it provides lifelong immunity. Okay. So that's definitely a good option if you have a dog that you're taking out into the woods quite a lot. And, you know, really, deer ticks love dogs, as do American dog ticks, but the disease risk is much smaller with the dog ticks. Frontline will keep ticks from developing successfully, but it doesn't really provide any disease resistance.
Hmm. Interesting. You know, here's the real creepy crawly question, John, but what now? So I've got a tick, I found a tick. How do I safely remove it?
Yeah, so that's a great great question. There are lots of, you know, folk remedies involved with tick removal, and I can't suggest using a match or covering them with Vaseline. You really don't want to stress the tick out, because then it could like regurgitate some of its gut contents into your body or some additional saliva, and so it can actually increase your disease risk. So really the best way to do it is to just take some tweezers and get real close to your skin and grab their mouth parts and just pull them straight out in one movement. Sometimes people worry a lot about leaving behind broken mouth parts in their skin, and while that can result in like a secondary bacterial infection, just like if you had a dirty sliver or something, it's not going to increase disease transmission risk normally.
And is there, you know, wisdom in saving the tick and bringing it to the doctor and sort of following up on, is this a deer tick? Is this a wood tick? I mean, where are we at with the paranoia of actually being infected?
So the chance that a tick is infected with Lyme disease bacteria varies a lot depending on kind of the local population of ticks. Really, the sort of proportion of infected ticks can be all over the place. But I know that in the past, Minnesota Department of Health has said that about a third of adult deer ticks, adult female deer ticks in the state can be infected, a quarter to a third. So there is a, if you have a tick that you think has been attached for longer than 24 hours, especially if it's been on for longer than 36 hours, there's a pretty, that's starting to court a pretty substantial risk there. So it might be a good idea to take your tick, you know, to your doctor and just see what he wants to do about it.
Sure. Yeah, and Lyme disease is sort of one of those mystery scaries. It's been terribly underreported. I see in your studies you found that, you know, at least maybe 10 times more cases go unreported. Why that, and what's the good news? Is there a course of antibiotics that'll cure Lyme disease?
Yeah, normally Lyme disease is pretty easily cured by antibiotics so long as it's caught fairly early. And so the conflict that results, or part of the conflict that results in the extreme underreporting, is that normally, often, people are getting the antibiotics as soon as they get any symptoms. You know, in Minnesota, people are pretty educated about tick-borne diseases. And so oftentimes, people are getting the antibiotics before they start to develop the antibody measurements in their blood that sort of equate to an official report. Do you get what I mean?
Sure.
So like people are essentially like getting treatment while they're kind of like subclinical before the disease has had a chance to develop. So that results in, you know, so probably, and even the CDC in a statement has admitted that this is, you know, likely the case, that there's about 300,000 Lyme disease, or people who get treated for Lyme disease nationwide each year. But the official reports end up being a, you know, a ninth or a tenth of that. So, yeah, definitely seriously underreported. Other tick-borne diseases, especially those that don't, you know, always result in hospitalization, are probably also seriously underreported, anaplasmosis being one of the main ones.
Well, John Oliver, you've been most informative on this topic of ticks. We appreciate your time. Is there anything else folks need to know? If there's just one thing we need to remember about ticks, what's your best advice?
Well, you know, never think that because you didn't feel it on you that you're going to be safe. Ticks have you know, 100 million years of evolutionary sneakiness behind them. These animals are designed not to be noticed. And so tick checks are definitely a good idea. Even if you're pretty sure you don't have any, even if you've only briefly been in the environment where they're likely to be found, best to just play it safe.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Oliver. Jonathan Oliver joining us from the University of Minnesota School of Public Health as our public health entomologist with some excellent advice and wisdom on ticks. Thank you, John. Have a great spring.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave.